You're listening to Special Edition on Intercom Communications, hosted by Sue Henry.
Each year, those who have survived cancer come together with families and caregivers to share friendship and celebrate this moment of triumph together. The Northeast Regional Cancer Institute brings the participants together for Cancer Survivors Day, a time of honoring, remembering, and sharing. This is the 25th year of the celebrations, set for Saturday, September 23rd at McDade Park in Scranton and Saturday, September 30th at Kirby Park in Wilkes-Barre. The Northeast Regional Cancer Institute engages in patient and support services as well as surveillance. We talked about the work of the Institute and the upcoming events with Amanda Marcagiani, Community Relations Coordinator.
We are in our 26th year of operations, and we are a local nonprofit and information and referral organization. So if anyone has questions about cancer, they can reach out to our organization and get those questions answered. We also have a community and patient services team that works on doing educational programs throughout the community, as well as the patient navigation screening program. And what this program is to serve the uninsured and the underinsured to get up to date on breast, cervical, and colon cancer screenings. We also have a surveillance report that we issue each year, and that takes a look at the incidence and mortality rates in our region versus the national average and where we fall in the sites of cancer. And we help to work with a lot of community members getting their questions answered and helping them to put on different types of events. And then our biggest campaign that most people might know us for is our colon cancer awareness campaign called Casual Day, and that takes place in March.
Can you tell me how you help people who have questions and maybe what some of their common questions are that you field each and every day, and maybe you could provide some answers to kind of give them some help?
Yeah, so we probably receive over 200 calls from individuals in the community. On our staff, we have a master's level oncology social worker. So she is available to answer any sort of questions, whether it be transportation, treatment, what type of cancer you have, to kind of talk about what that looks like and what that could mean for you. And then we also have an RN on staff as well who can answer those types of questions. We can help connect people if they're interested in genetic testing with other genetic counselors in the area, if that's something that individuals want to further investigate, if they do have a family history of cancer. So really, it's across the board. Any question, there's no wrong question. We'd rather individuals call and have a sense of peace of mind and just to really help individuals in our area. Our mission is to ease the burden of cancer in northeastern Pennsylvania. So if a phone call and getting some answers is how we can ease a burden for you, we are more than happy to do that. Our phone number is 570-941-7984. And you can also go on our website, which is www.cancernepa.org.
Now, you have an event coming up called Survivors Day. And can you talk about how that event came to be? And maybe the reason that you have it, I guess it's to show the hopeful side of cancer, because some people, when they hear that news, they're just devastated and they think there isn't any. So can you talk a little bit about this day?
Yes, this event actually started, this will be the 25th year of this event. And really a group of Cancer Institute volunteers went to a national conference many years ago and they saw this type of event displayed to them, and they thought that it would be a great thing to do in northeastern Pennsylvania. So that's really how it began. Over the last 5 to 7 years, the actual format of the event has changed a little bit. Now it is more of an intimate setting where the main portion of it is called the Circle of Survivors. And what that is everyone will stand in a circle and you have the opportunity to share something about your cancer experience. The great thing about this event is that it's not limited to just current cancer patients. It's anyone that's been affected by a cancer diagnosis. Because oftentimes we know that cancer just doesn't affect that individual going through it. It affects an entire family. So healthcare professionals are invited, caregivers, family, and friends to this event.
How inspiring is it for someone like yourself to see this event unfold? What does it mean to you personally?
It's a very powerful type of event. I think it gives hope to individuals and just another support system that they might not have known existed in our area. You know, you have your family and friends that are your support system, but they might not necessarily be able to relate to you like some of the other individuals that will be at this event. We do have caregiver pins and survivor pins. So individuals will wear the ribbon with the type of cancer that they had or have. And that's just another way that you can connect with someone and kind of find some common ground. You might have gone through some of the same things that someone is currently going through. So it really does boost that support system and network of your support system.
Recognizing caregivers is so important, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes. I think sometimes we forget about our caregivers because they're just always giving and giving 110% of the time. And they are an intricate part of anyone's cancer experience. I'm sure each patient, you know, has someone that they're thinking about currently while listening to this that is their caregiver. And we really just appreciate them and thank them so much for what they do.
All right, let's get into the specifics of the upcoming events, right?
Yes, there are two events. We have our first one is on Saturday, September 23rd, and that is at McDade Park, and it is from 10 a.m. until noon. And then our second location will take place on Saturday, September 30th, and that is at Kirby Park, and it is also from 10 in the morning until noon. And we just want to ask everyone to dress appropriately for the weather because the events will take place outside. And I also wanted to just thank our volunteer committee as well as all of our sponsors that really allow us to put on this event each year. We wouldn't be able to do it without them. You can register on our website, which is cancernepa.org. Or you can call our office. It's 570-941-7984. And we actually, if you can't pre-register online, you are welcome to come the morning of the event.
That's Amanda Marcagiani, Community Relations Coordinator for the Northeast Regional Cancer Institute. We also spoke to Karen Rechak, Patient Navigator, about how the center tracks statistics in the region.
I manage the day-to-day operations for our cancer screening navigation program, which serves low-income, un- and underinsured individuals who are not up to date with their breast, cervical, or colon cancer screenings.
You have some statistics here about survival rates in northeastern Pennsylvania. How are these compiled? And then we'll get a little bit into the data.
Survivorship for cancer patients really is a broad term, and it really encompasses anyone who's ever had a diagnosis of an invasive cancer. And when we look at those, you know, we count them. Well, we count the individuals who are alive with a diagnosis. In the U.S., currently about 15.5 million individuals are alive with a diagnosis of cancer. In less than 10 years, we anticipate that number to be at 20 million. So what we're finding is cancer is a chronic disease, much like heart disease, much like diabetes. In our little corner of the state, we estimate about 40 to 50,000 individuals are alive with a cancer diagnosis. We see about 5,000 individuals diagnosed annually with an invasive cancer here in NEPA. So what we do here at the Cancer Institute is compile cancer incidence and mortality rates, looking at individual cancers. Because what we know about survivorship, it relates to the type of cancer that was diagnosed, the stage of diagnosis, the treatment that was given, as well as any other comorbidities the patient may have that might limit them from getting treatment.
How do we stack up against other parts of the United States in terms of our rates here? Are they higher, lower, about the same?
Our rates here for cancer, if we look at all cancers combined, we're about 8 to 10% higher than the rest of the country when we just look at incidence. Mortality, we're about 4 to 5% higher than the rest of the country. And again, that's when we compare ourselves to the population of the U.S.
In terms of the people who have the diagnosis, which cancers are most pervasive here?
We're pretty much like the rest of the country when we look at common cancers. So for men, it's prostate is number one, followed by lung and colon. For women, it's breast, followed by lung and colon. So they're the top four right here, as well as the rest of the country. What we're looking at here are all the standardized incidence ratios by primary cancer, and these are the mortality ratios. So this is just each cancer, the number in our area diagnosed, and then the comparison to the rest of the country, what we call our standardized incidence and mortality ratios.
In terms of the number of survivors of cancer, do you see optimism and hope? I mean, you said that there will be a time when more people in the country have a diagnosis of cancer, but what about survival?
Absolutely, there is hope. I mean, our treatment in general for cancer has advanced vastly in the last several decades. And as I said before, cancer has become more of a chronic disease because of that, because treatments have improved. What we're looking at, as well as targeted treatments, you know, when we take a cancer and we can actually find the cause of that cancer, where that genetic mutation may be occurring, and then we can do something to stop that mutation or correct that mutation, we can then target the actual cancer cells and do less damage, less side effects, more targeted therapy. We also are doing a lot more with prevention. You know, we here at the Cancer Institute really look at what we can do to reduce risk. That's a lot of what our programming is about. What are the healthy things that you can do as an individual to reduce your risk? So we do a lot of programming in the community about those kinds of things.
How receptive are people to what you have to say, and what are some of the things that you do advise for people to limit their risk?
If we talk about cancer in general, we're going to talk about a healthy diet. And, you know, that's easy to say and a lot harder to do. Eating more fruits and vegetable, more plant-based food, less fat, and exercise. Exercise is very important when it comes to risk reduction, and studies have proven several cancers can be limited by exercise. We also talk about smoking cessation. I mean, that is the first and foremost. That's the biggest thing any individual can do to reduce their risk if they're a smoker or using tobacco, to try and stop. And we do have some information here at our organization about tobacco cessation, and we're happy to talk to individuals about that.
People think they can't because they've tried and they it didn't take. Do you see people who say to you, Karen, I did it. I can't believe that I smoked for so long and now I don't understand how I did it. I mean, are you seeing people who completely stop smoking through some kind of a cessation program that is successful, and what is it?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? There's no magic bullet, Sue. What I tell individuals on a personal level, I joined three gyms in my life. The first one I joined for a year and never went. The second one I joined to join, and a year later I went to quit. Again, never used it. And then I found a gym where I have to make an appointment with a trainer and I have to let them know that I'm going to be there or I'm not going to be there. That has worked for me. So you find what works for you, and it's not always what works for somebody else. So we really have to work hard at, you know, looking at ways I can limit my intake of certain foods and maybe reward myself at some point. So a lot of things are individual, and we see a lot of people who are willing to do what we suggest.
What often prompts someone to make such a drastic lifestyle change? Is it something that they see from somebody else? Is it their... As you get older, you think more. Your health is more priceless.
I think age has a lot to do with it. Maturity, and what we know about cancer risk is, as we age, our cancer risk goes up. Age is one of the other biggest factors for cancer risk. So I think individuals, you know, see their parents dying, and they see the age that their parents die, and they say, that gets younger every year. You know, I'm getting to that age where something happened to someone I loved, and if I can prevent it or I can do something to, you know, increase my longevity, I'll do it.
Once again, the Cancer Survivor events, sponsored by the Northeast Regional Cancer Institute, are on Saturday, September 23rd at McDade Park in Scranton and September 30th at Kirby Park in Wilkes-Barre. For more information, visit cancernepa.org. You are listening to Special Edition on Entercom Communications.
Being homeless doesn't mean being hopeless. Ruth's Place, a program of Volunteers of America, changes the lives of hundreds of women each year. By providing shelter, housing assistance, and personal support, Ruth's Place gives its guests a new start. But this new start can't happen without you. Join us Sunday, October 1st at 12 p.m. for the Walk for Hope on Public Square in Wilkes-Barre. There will be music, vendors, raffles, and the chance to make a difference. For more information, visit Ruth's Place on Facebook or call 570-822-6817.
Thanks for listening to Special Edition, a weekly look at the issues in the news and the personalities shaping the stories.